Against a deep blue background, the pennanted turrets of a fairy tale castle appear in white silhouette. A bright light blazes from the base of the castle, fading into the words, Walt Disney Pictures. On a broad leaf in the middle of the Australian bush, a tiny green cricket crawls into view and looks about. His eyes widening with fear, he scuttles off as a large spider lumbers onto the leaf. On another leaf, the cricket looks around nervously and retreats again as a praying mantis edges towards him, its angry red eyes glaring from beneath long flopping antennae. The mantis rubs his legs together. Pink letters are superimposed over the scene. Walt Disney Pictures presents. The view lifts to the tip of a long grass stem where a tiny ladybird sits immobile. It flutters its tiny wings and flies off into the air. A vast open plain, the camera sweeps over a carpet of lilac-coloured wildflowers. Orange letters fill the screen. The Rescuers Down Under, produced in association with Silver Screen Partners 4. The letters fade to reveal a huge hump of red stone in the distance under a pale morning sky, Ayers Rock. As the camera races towards it, a tiny dot on the horizon grows into an isolated rough plank farmhouse with a steep corrugated metal roof and a broad front porch. With Bob Newhart and Eva Gabor and George C. Scott as McLeach, produced by Thomas Schumacher, directed by Hendel Butoy and Mike Gabriel. Reaching the house, the camera passes through a window. Inside a boy's bedroom, a model airplane hangs from the ceiling, a telescope points out the window. On the wall, a map of Australia. An electric fan blows toward a hammock in which a small boy with a thatch of ginger hair lies sleeping. The boy wakes up, races to the window and peers out. He pulls on a pair of shorts and a t-shirt and grabs a clasp knife from his desk. In the kitchen, a woman at an old kitchen range opens the oven door to check something. Now wearing a small rucksack and boots, the boy tiptoes past her to the door. Closing it behind him, he runs off.
Cody!
He stops and turns.
Yeah, Mom?
What about your breakfast?
I've got some sandwiches in my pack.
We'll be out for supper.
No worries, Mom!
The boy sprints across the broad savannah toward the distant bush. As he enters the jungle of tall gum trees and brush, a family of kookaburra birds in a tree nest take flight after him. One of them swoops down to hover in front of him, pointing ahead with its wing.
I know! I'm coming!
He bolts a log.
Hustler, Nelson, Flew's sounding the call!
Emerging sleepily from a pile of leaves, an echidna, a small hedgehog-like animal with a long snout, scrambles off after him. Cody passes some rocks.
Come on, little wombats, hurry!
Three chunky little bear-like creatures appear from a burrow beneath the rocks and set off after him. Accompanied by the animals, Cody races on through the bush. At the edge of a clearing, a kangaroo stands blowing into the branch of a hollow log to make the didgeridoo sound.
Who's got this time?
I don't know her, Cody. Her name is Marahute, the great golden eagle.
Where is she?
She's caught high on a cliff in a poacher's trap. You're the only one who can reach her.
I'll get her loose.
Righto, hop on. No time to lose.
Cody mounts Faloo's shoulders and holds on tightly as the kangaroo hops off through the bush, followed by the flying kookaburras, the lumbering wombats, and the little scuttling echidna. Passing along a riverside, they reach the far edge of the bush where towering, sheer-faced pink cliffs rise dramatically into the sky. Faloo stops and points upward.
She's up on top of that ridge. Be careful, little friend.
With trepidation, Cody slides down from Faloo's back and looks up at the ridge. Minutes later, he is inching his way up the sheer stone cliff face with the treetops and his friends far below. From toehold to toehold, he slowly works his way higher and higher up the cliff, finally reaching the top. Here, on a flat shelf, a huge eagle lies trussed up with ropes tied to clips in the rocky surface. Cody's eyes widen. Clambering to his feet, he slowly circles the great trapped bird, many times bigger than himself. As he reaches the bird's head, Marahute's eye is open and she thrashes with fright.
Calm down. Calm down. I'm not gonna hurt you.
He pets her.
It's a girl. Stay still.
Kneeling, he produces his clasp knife.
It's okay.
He opens the knife and the eagle thrashes again.
Marahute, I'm here to help you. Easy, easy.
Circling Marahute, Cody cuts the ropes. Standing on the cliff edge, he slashes at the last remaining tie. The great bird flaps its wings, knocking Cody over the edge. As Cody plummets towards the treetops far below, Marahute throws off the ropes and soars into the sky. Cody, squinting with terror, continues his headlong drop. Suddenly, Marahute swoops below him in a gentle arc, and Cody lands flat on her broad back. He throws his arms round her neck, and she climbs upward again, past the astonished faces of the animals looking on from below. Flapping her wings, the huge eagle ascends higher and higher, passing peak after rocky peak. At the highest summit, her talons snatch up chunks of rock as she soars towards the clouds, with Cody holding on for dear life. They break through the clouds, and Cody pulls himself forward to peer into Marahute's eye. The eagle winks, and Cody's face creases in a broad, happy grin. He clings to her back, holding onto her feathers with glee.
Higher!
Marahute climbs even higher, a tiny speck now, wheeling and looping in the stacks of puffy clouds in the stratosphere. Suddenly she stops, throwing Cody forward over her head. Marahute grabs his arms with her talons and flies onwards, screeching at him. Cody screeches back. With a talon, Marahute tickles him under the arm. Now Marahute dives down vertically, racing at a dizzying speed. Cody is still held by his arms. Breaking through the clouds, Marahute continues her dive down towards the treetops. Cody squints his eyes against the rushing wind. At the last minute, she levels out over the river, holding Cody high enough off the water so that he skims it like a water skier. Cody sees a flock of flamingos and doves ahead. Marahute releases him and Cody speeds towards them, scattering them in a flurry of feathers and water. He loses momentum and starts to fall backward. Marahute appears just in time, propping him up with her great beak and driving him forward over the river surface. The river rushes over a high cliff in a waterfall, and Cody flies into space with the doves flying by his side. Marahute swoops below him, and Cody lights on her back and clasps her neck. She climbs upwards between two vertical cliffs. They reach a narrow recessed shelf high up on the cliff face. As Marahute lands on the shelf, Cody drops to the ground onto a bed of twigs and dried grass. Marahute moves further into the recess. Cody climbs to his feet, awestruck.
Wow!
Marahute pulls Cody closer with her wing and examines him curiously, turning her head upside down. Smiling, Cody turns his head upside down to mimic her. Marahute looks away. Cody loses his balance and falls down. Beside him in the nest, a small mound covered by dried grass. Marahute brushes the grass away with her beak to reveal three brown speckled eggs. Cody looks up at her, amazed.
You're a mom!
Cody touches one of the eggs, which is as big as he is. He puts his ear to it.
They're very warm. Are they gonna hatch soon?
Marahute raises her head and ruffles her feathers proudly. Cody smiles up at her. Straddling the eggs, Marahute settles down over them as Cody looks on curiously. As Marahute warms the eggs, Cody glances around.
Where's the daddy eagle?
Marahute drops her head sadly. Cody droops his in sympathy.
Oh, my dad's gone too.
Marahute shuts her eyes. Cody pets her head. They sit together, perched in the nest high in the cliff face. Then Marahute gets up. With her beak, she pushes grass over the three eggs. Cody helps her. A golden feather is blown up from the mound by the wind. Cody catches it and examines it. He grins as he strokes it under his chin. Marahute cocks her head to one side, watching him. Respectfully, Cody replaces the feather on the mound and pulls back. Marahute picks up the feather with her beak and offers it to him. He takes it, smiling. Then he jumps up and hugs the great bird's neck in gratitude. Back in the bush, atop a boulder, Cody hugs Marahute again and the huge eagle lifts off towards the treetops. Cody waves goodbye and Marahute's shadow passes over him. Cody jumps to the ground and zigzags off through the forest with arms extended, pretending to be an airplane. On a tree, a wanted poster, an evil-looking man wearing a broad-brimmed Australian bush hat and the name McLeach. Cody stops. Nearby, a bush twitches. Suspended from a bent branch, a mouse is swinging on a cord, trussed up tightly. A bell is tied to the branch. Cody moves to untie him.
Hey, little fellow, what happened to you?
Oh, no!
Don't worry. I'll get you loose.
The floor gives way and Cody falls into a deep pit. A red flashing beeper device is fixed to the pit side. Elsewhere, a blip appears on a radar screen in a vehicle dashboard. The tiny mouse climbs out of the pit and looks down at Cody.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okie dokie.
Wait, hey, come back.
The mouse runs off. Cody leaps up to grab a root. The root gives way and Cody falls onto his back. The mouse reappears at the top and feeds a long vine down to Cody.
Here you go. Grab on.
That's great. Just a little more. A little further. There. I got it.
Cody starts to climb up the vine. The ground begins to shake. The mouse looks up in panic. Coming towards them, knocking down trees and shrubs as it rumbles forward, is a giant bush vehicle, a bushwhacker, half truck, half tank, with a cage on its truck bed. Smashing everything in its path, it carves its way through the bush. The mouse races down the vine and hops into Cody's rucksack to hide. The bushwhacker pulls up in a cloud of dust, its tank treads cutting the vine, which falls down into the pit. Cody looks up apprehensively. A dog-sized lizard snarls down at him.
Well, Joanna, what do we get today? A dingo, a fat old razorback, or a nice big boy?
It's McLeach from the wanted poster, carrying a rifle. McLeach glares down at the lizard, then kicks her.
Joanna, you've been digging holes out here again. Dumb lizard's always trying to bury squirrels out here.
Uh-uh, it's a trap, and poaching's against the law.
Trap? Where'd you get an idea like that, boy? I think you've been down in that hole for too long.
He points the gun at Cody.
Come on, grab a hold.
Reluctantly, Cody grasps the rifle barrel and McLeach lifts him out.
We'll get you out of this little old lizard hole and you can just run along home.
Joanna sees the mouse.
This is a poacher's trap and you're a poacher.
Joanna leaps at the rucksack, pushing Cody into McLeach, who falls into the pit.
Let's go! Hey, get off me!
McLeach climbs out of the pit.
I'm gonna kill that dumb, slimy, sucking salamander!
Get it out! Get off!
Joanna tears at the rucksack, looking for the mouse. She sees McLeach aiming the rifle at her and cowers in fright. Peering through the rifle scope, McLeach notices the eagle feather in Cody's pack. He lowers the rifle, smiling.
Good girl, Joanna.
He snatches up Cody by his rucksack and takes the feather.
Say, where'd you get this pretty feather, boy?
It was a present.
Oh, that's real nice. Who gave it to you?
He pulls out another feather.
It's a secret.
That's no secret, boy. You see, I already got the father.
He draws the feather across his throat.
You just tell me where Mama and those little eggs are.
No!
Dropping from the rucksack, Cody runs off. Joanna races after him. The little mouse jumps out of the rucksack and hides. Closely followed by the lizard, Cody flees through the bush. He stops at the edge of a steep cliff with a crocodile-infested river swirling below. Snarling viciously, Joanna catches him up. Cody pulls out his clasp knife, but it drops to the ground. As he grabs for it, McLeach's booted foot comes down on his hand.
You're coming with me, boy.
My mama called the Rangers.
Oh, no. Not the Rangers. What'll I do? What'll I do? Don't let your mom call the Rangers, please.
Joanna laughs. McLeach throws the rucksack into the water.
My poor baby boy got eaten by the crocodile. Boo, hoo, hoo. Let's go, boy.
Cody is locked in the cage. McLeach drives the bushwhacker off through the trees, watched by the mouse. The mouse races off through the brush to the edge of a small pond where a curious little shelter made from a discarded half-pint milk carton sits at the base of a telegraph pole. Above it, a sign, RAS Telegraph Office. He throws open the door and enters. Slipping on a visor cap, the mouse telegrapher taps out a message in Morse code. Atop the adjacent telephone pole, an improvised transmitter beams the message across the Earth's surface. Over a globe map, a pink arrow traces its course from Australia to the Marshall Islands in the South Pacific. Here, in the jungle, in the rotting hulk of an old World War II fighter plane, a mouse wearing a leather pilot's jacket hears the signal on the fighter's ancient radio set. Nose twitching, he hops up to turn a switch. Moving to a telegraph key on the dashboard, he sends the message further on its way. On the globe map, the pink arrow arcs above the clouds over the wide Pacific Ocean, stopping at the Hawaiian Islands. Here, in a military communications center, the computer screens are suddenly filled with repetitions of the letters RAS. The computer operator looks up in surprise and taps at his keyboard. Across the room, two mice in Hawaiian shirts are watching through a pair of binoculars. They wave red flags. In a corner, another mouse hops onto a telephone keyboard, punching in a number. Frowning, the computer operator steps away to answer the phone. Immediately, three mice hop onto his keyboard and type a command. On the screen above, a message appears. RAS, attention, boy kidnapped in Australia. Immediate action required. The mice look shocked. Hopping from key to key, they enter a new computer command. The screen message reads, relay to New York. Again on the globe map, the pink arrow traces the signal's path. Crossing the Pacific to the coastline of the United States at Los Angeles, across the mountains to Denver, onto St. Louis, to Chicago, to Washington, D.C., and finally to the United Nations building in New York City. In the midst of a heavy snowstorm, the signal is picked up by satellite dishes on the building's roof and relayed downstairs to the RAS control center, where a mouse technician sits before a miniature console. He listens to the coded signal, writes down the message, and reaches for a microphone.
Code red, attention.
All Rescue Aid Society delegates. All delegates, please report immediately to the main assembly hall.
In the cellar, mouse delegates from all over the world rush to their places in the old trunk that serves as their assembly hall. The chairman.
Order.
Yes, yes, I know it's late, but I'm... Oh, really? Good Charles. Hello, hello, Frank. How are you? Nice to see you. And Esmeralda, there you are. All right, quiet now, please. Everyone pay attention. There has been a kidnapping in Australia. A young boy needs our help. This is a mission requiring our very finest. And I know we are all thinking of the same two mice.
The seats for the American and Hungarian delegates are empty.
What's this? Gone? We must find Bernard and Miss Bianca at once.
In a crowded, elegant New York restaurant high above the city, a black-suited waiter carries a tray of empty plates between tables. A pea drops to the floor from one of the plates. A cockroach dashes out from a fluted column to retrieve it.
Oh, pea soup?
Inside the column, he places the pea in a spoon catapult, winds the spring and triggers it off, sending the pea to the top of the column where it rolls into a thimble of boiling water placed over a Zippo lighter and stirred by a cockroach chef.
Pea soup!
A cockroach waiter appears and the chef pours out the soup. The waiter carries it along a support beam to a huge crystal chandelier in the centre of the high ceiling, on top of which mice are seated at tiny tables. At one table, a lovely lady mouse in pink hat and evening dress.
To my dear Bernard, and our wonderful partnership.
Wonderful.
Her companion, a chubby mouse in a tuxedo, drinks distractedly.
You've been very quiet this evening. Is there something on your mind?
Well, actually, I was wondering.
Yes, darling?
Miss Bianca, would you...
Nervously, he digs in his pocket.
Would you...
A ring falls to the floor.
Would you excuse me for a minute?
Falling to his knees, the chubby mouse searches for the missing ring. He spies it finally and crawls towards it across the floor. But just as he reaches it, a waiter's foot kicks the ring further away, under a table where a lady dowager mouse and her weedy companion are eating. Frowning, he crawls towards them. A waiter passes Miss Bianca a telegram.
Pardonnez-moi, Mademoiselle Bianca. I have important news.
Yes, Francois? What is it?
You and Bernard have been asked to accept a dangerous mission to Australia.
She reads it.
Poor boy. This is dreadful. Now, where is Bernard? I must tell him at once.
Allow me, madame. I will tell him immediately.
Bowing, the waiter withdraws. Bernard, the chubby mouse, has crawled under the tablecloth. He reaches for the ring. The dowager mouse moves her foot and collects it on her toe. Bernard plucks it off. Above him, the dowager mouse grimaces, then glares at her companion, who smiles inanely. She slaps him. Bernard reappears with the ring.
Miss Bianca, will you marry me?
Quickly, Monsieur Bernard. Miss Bianca, I must speak with you.
Please marry me. Not now, Francois. I'm busy.
The waiter chases him and collides with two other waiters.
Bernard, did you talk to Francois?
Yes, but there's something I
know exactly what you're going to say. Francois told me all about it.
He did? How did he?
Oh, it doesn't matter. I think it's a marvelous idea.
You do?
He smiles.
I mean, you really want to?
I don't think it's a matter of wanting. It's a matter of duty.
Duty?
I never thought of it.
He looks bewildered.
Well, all right. How does next April sound to you?
Heavens, no. We must act immediately tonight.
Tonight?
Bianca goes.
But wait.
He follows.
Bianca, this is so sudden. I mean, don't you at least need a gown or something?
No, just a pair of khaki shorts and some hiking boots.
Hiking boots?
The assembly hall.
There you are. Come along.
The chair mouse leads them up to the podium. Bianca addresses the assembly.
Delegates, we have an important announcement. Bernard and I have decided...
Bernard looks pleased.
...to accept the mission to Australia.
And now shocked.
Australia? Oh, good show. Now you must fly out immediately. It's a little nippy outside, but we won't let that stop us, will we, what?
Bernard smiles feebly. Nighttime. A snow-drifted rooftop heliport. A blizzard sweeps over parked helicopters. At one edge of the roof, a tiny shed with a sign, Albatross Air. The sign blows away. Bernard, carrying cases, leads Bianca to the door.
Bianca, I'm not sure it's such a good idea to fly this soon after eating.
Darling, you'll be just fine.
But aren't you supposed to wait 45 minutes?
Oh, just knock on the door and see if Orville is there.
Reluctantly, Bernard sets down a suitcase and raps on the door.
Well, nobody's home. Let's go.
Snow covers him.
Bernard, this is no time to play in the snow.
I wasn't playing in the snow. It was an avalanche.
Oh, look, Bernard.
She sees a notice.
Under new management, see Wilbur.
Nearby, a small snow-covered Nissan-type hut. Above its doors, the word hangar.
Come on, darling. Let's get a move out.
They trudge towards the hangar, Bernard carrying the cases. From a high window, an electrical cable snakes downwards and off through the snow. The two mice climb up the cable to the window. Inside, a large white bird, an albatross, with a baseball cap worn backwards and a long grey scarf. He dances wildly to the music. Bianca hails him. Wilbur plays an imaginary guitar, eyes closed, gyrating around the room. Bernard and Bianca try to get his attention. One of Wilbur's feet nearly squashes them.
Oh, look out! Excuse me.
Bernard, do something. You can't hear us.
Holding his flat cap against the force of the music, Bernard struggles across to unplug the tape player.
When I go back, hey, who killed the music?
That's better.
Bianca steps forward.
Excuse us for interrupting.
Wilbur glares.
We're from the Rescue Aid Society. I am Miss Bianca.
Miss Bianca?
And this is my...
The Miss Bianca? I don't believe it. My brother Orville told me all about you. Oh, boy, this is an honor to have...
He bends down.
May I just say enchanté, señorita, to you? May I?
He kisses her hand.
We need to charter a flight.
Well, you've come to the right place, buddy boy. Welcome to...
He pulls down a poster.
Albatross Air. A fair fare from here to there. You get it? A fair fare? It's a play on... Never mind. I've got tons of exotic destinations. Faraway places. Custom designed for a romantic weekend getaway. As well as the finest in-flight accommodations. Speaking of which, what can I get you? How about a nice mango Maui cooler? Very, very nice. Very tasty, you know?
No, thank you.
The coconut guava nectar. It's carbonated. Very nice. I got little umbrellas for each one of them and a little coconut thing.
It's urgent that we leave immediately.
Nothing at all?
Wilbur.
How about a cream soda?
Now, look, you need a flight to Australia.
Australia? The land down under? That's a fabulous idea. So when can I pencil you in? After spring thaw? You know, mid-June would be very nice.
Oh, no, we must leave tonight.
He spews his drink.
Tonight?
Drenching Bernard.
Come on, you're kidding me, right?
He opens a window.
Have you looked outside? It's suicide out there. Oh, no. I'm afraid your jolly little holiday will have to wait. What a bunch of jokers.
But you don't understand. A boy needs our help. He's in trouble.
Boy? You mean little kid kind of boy?
He was kidnapped.
Kidnapped? Oh, that's awful. Locking up a little kid. Kids should be free. Free to run wild through the house on Saturday mornings. Free to have cookies and milk. And get those little white mustaches. You know what? Nobody's going to take a kid's freedom away while I'm around. Nobody, you hear me?
Does that mean you'll take us?
Storm or no storm, Albatross Airlines.
He salutes.
At your service.
They're in a sardine tin on his back.
Passengers are requested to please fasten their seatbelts and secure all carry-ons. We'll be departing following our standard pre-flight maintenance. Thank you.
He does some exercises.
Yeah, loosen up, get the blood flowing up to the head. And a couple of these.
Now push-ups.
Oh,
Okay, one's enough. There we go.
He stands, twists his body.
Oh! Ah, yeah, that feels better. Oh, baby. Tie your kangaroos down, sports fans.
At the door.
Here we come! Yeah, let's go for it! Whoa! Hey! Whoa! Hey, I didn't adjust for the wind. All right, we're gonna make it. I just had to duck down a little lower, that's all. Go under the wind. Go under it. Here we go.
Wilbur staggers forward, flapping his wings.
Ow, this is cold. Whoa, hey, slippery. Ice! We got ice! Whoa, hang on now!
He gallops clumsily to the roof edge. Bernard and Bianca cling to the sardine tin on his back.
Here we go!
He leaps into space and plummets downwards. They drop straight towards the street, pulling up just above the traffic, which swerves to avoid him. They soar upwards.
Captain, is this a non-stop flight to Australia?
Well, not exactly, no. I could definitely say no. We're gonna have to make connections with a bigger bird.
Non-stop? What do I look like, Charles Lindbergh?
In Australia, McLeach's bushwhacker grinds its way along a desert road amidst craggy red rocks. A sign beside the road reads, "Danger, open mine shafts." Cody is still in the cage on the back of the vehicle.
Let me out of here! Let me go! You can't do this! Help!
In the cab, McLeach picks up a microphone.
Breaker, little mate.
I forgot to tell you, around here, you need to be quiet!
Cody falls down.
Or the rangers might hear you. Now sit down, relax, enjoy the view.
Cody crawls to the side.
Nothing but abandoned opal mines as far as the eye can see.
Cody blinks.
And dead ahead is home sweet home.
They move away over the desert.
Home on the range, where the critters are tied up in chains. I cut through their sides, and I rip off their hides, and the next day I do it again.
At Cody's house near Ayers Rock.
Cody.
In the wheel well of a giant airborne jumbo jet, Wilbur and his passengers lie sleeping on the folded undercarriage. In the sardine tin, Bianca wakes up and kisses Bernard on the cheek. He smiles sleepily and opens his eyes.
Are we there yet?
Yes. You know, perhaps we should wake up Wilbur.
Oh, all right, I'll get him up.
He leans over.
Wilbur?
And pokes him in the back.
Wilbur!
Yeah, just 5 more minutes, Mom.
Wilbur rolls over.
That's all I need, 5 more minutes.
Trapping them.
Wilbur, are you awake?
Get up, we're there! Okay, I'm up.
Watch out, you're
He kneels and stretches.
Oh, must have been sleeping on a bolt.
The wheel well doors open over Sydney Harbour.
Oh, boy. Throw another shrimp in a barbie, girls, because here I come!
Here we go again.
Cannonball!
Slipping on his goggles, Wilbur dives down towards the Sydney Opera House, swerving around seagulls.
Gangway! Coming through! Lights on board, clear it away! Pull over, madam! There you go! Coming through, sir! Thank you!
Swooping between the roof shells of the Opera House, Wilbur soars up over the city.
Mugwump Flats! Did we lose anyone back there?
Miss Bianca, from now on, can't we just take the train?
On the chimney cowl of a small airport terminal in Mugwump Flats, a long-tailed mouse in a ranger's hat is playing checkers with a fly.
Well, Sparky, you've had this coming for a long time. Now you're gonna get it.
He takes a piece.
Ha!
Unimpressed, the hovering fly takes all of the mouse's pieces.
Wise fly.
Mugwump Tower, this is Albatross 1-3, requesting permission to land. Over.
Albatross.
He consults a chart of bird silhouettes.
Say, finch, wren, scrubbird, lorikeet, freckled duck, galah, kookaburra, parrot, cockatoo, albatross. It's a jumbo.
He turns to a microphone.
Negative 1-3, you'll have to turn back. Our runway isn't long enough for a bird your size.
Not long enough? Look, pal, I can land this thing on a dive.
Wilbur, if the runway isn't long enough, listen, you can't let these radar jockeys push around. Just leave it to me, all right?
I say again, mate, our runway is too short.
And I say again, mate, I'm coming in.
Crazy yank. Quick, Sparky, we've got to find a way to extend the runway.
Hopping over the corrugated metal roof, the mouse releases a pulley which raises a metal awning.
Here we go!
We'll never make it!
Frowning determinedly, Wilbur swoops in to land on the roof, bouncing over the corrugations.
Passengers, please remain seated until the aircraft comes to a full and complete stop. Thank you.
The mouse and the fly work together to extend the roof. but there's still not enough, and Wilbur is approaching the edge.
Quick, Sparky, we need to make the drag line.
Grabbing a woman's bra, they stretch it across Wilbur's path. Wilbur is snagged and finally comes to a stop at the roof's edge, with a bra cup stretched across his chest.
Don't try and tell me the runway's too short. Hold this for me, will you, pal?
He passes the bra to the mouse, who is flung across the roof against a wheeled stairway.
Well, I go to have his wings clipped.
Your captain thanks you for flying Albatross Airlines.
Crazy yanks. They think they can do any fool thing without regard for...
The mouse pushes the stairs up to Wilbur's back. He gapes as he sees Bianca stepping daintily towards him, smiling. The fly grimaces.
Welcome to Australia, ma'am. My name's Jake, and if there's any way I can make your stay more pleasant, don't hesitate to ask.
Oh, how kind.
Allow me to get that bag for you.
I've got a lot of luggage here.
Here, let me give you a hand with those bags, pal. All part of the friendly service here at Albatross.
Ow! Oh, big time hurt. Ah, back. Oh, it's
Wilbur,
out.
Wilbur, are you all right?
Don't worry, ma'am. I'll handle this. Sparky, you watch the tower. We gotta get this bird to the hospital.
Oh, can't go down, can't go up. Oh, take the bags, take the bags.
An abandoned ambulance truck in the desert. Wilbur trussed tightly is being lowered through the roof by a winch.
Hey, what are you doing? Hey, what's going on? Wait!
Nurse mice haul on ropes. Hey,
just stop everything!
Wilbur, don't worry! He'll come back the moment we find the boy.
Wait! Hey, wait a minute! Don't leave me here, please! I'm feeling much better now. I'm even ready to hit the beaches. I'm even ready to mambo.
He jiggles, jerking the nurses.
Doctor, will he be all right?
Now, my dear. Keep a stiff upper lip. They all come in with a whimper and leave with a grin. Off with you now. Leave everything to me. Shoo, shoo, off you go.
Bernard and Bianca leave.
Up to it, ladies. We've got a bent bird on our hands. Move, move, move. Bustle, bustle, bustle. That's it.
Will it hurt, Doc?
Dear boy, you won't feel a thing. Launch the back brace.
A walking stick is shot under his back.
Oh, I've been skewered.
I've already missed tea, Mr. Albatross. Now don't force me to take drastic measures. You must relax.
Relax? I have never been more relaxed in my life! If I were any more relaxed, I'd be dead!
The rat doctor adjusts his pince-nez.
I'm not convinced. 60 milligrams!
60 milligrams?
The nurses fill a huge syringe and load it in a shotgun.
Are you guys crazy? You can't do that to me! I'm an American citizen, buddy!
Better double it!
Double?
Double, coming up!
They load a second syringe.
Prepare the albatross for medication.
The nurses position Wilbur's bottom.
Wake up, boy! Wake up!
3 degrees right.
Come on! The joke!
Down 2 degrees.
Oh, no! Don't go down 2 degrees!
No! Jamie.
Ready?
No! I'm not ready! No, please!
Hey!
No, oh, please don't do this to me!
Ha!
Bernard and Bianca with a map.
Now we just gotta figure out how to get there.
So, you and your husband here on a little outback excursion?
Oh, no. We're not married.
Jake's face lights up.
In fact, we're here on a top secret mission. Very, very hush-hush.
Oh, gotta rescue that kid McLeach snapped, eh?
Why, that's right. How did you know?
You'll find it's tough to keep secrets in the outback, miss.
He looks at the map.
Which way are you taking? Suicide Trail through Nightmare Canyon or the shortcut at Satan's Ridge?
Suicide Trail?
Good choice. More snakes,
less quicksand.
And once you cross Bloodworm Creek, you're scot-free. That is, until Dead Dingo Pass.
Wait a minute. I don't see any of that stuff on the map.
Well, a map's no good in the outback. What you really need is someone who knows the territory.
Oh, Mr. Jake, will you guide us?
At your service. I better take my arm, miss. It's going to be a treacherous hike.
Bernard is left holding the crumpled map.
He doesn't even know how to hold a map.
At Crocodile Falls, rangers are looking for Cody. Jake, Bianca and Bernard are riding through the treetops on the back of a flying squirrel.
This is how we get around on the outback, Miss B.
The squirrel scampers up a tree trunk.
The only way to travel.
Hey, Bernard. It's just a little bumpy back here.
Bernard has slipped the squirrel's tail and is being dragged up the trunk. At the treetop, the squirrel pauses and leaps into space.
Cinch up your seatbelts, mates. We're coming in for a landing.
Holding tight to the tail, Bernard grimaces. The squirrel lands on a small tree.
Hold it! Not yet!
The squirrel flips its tail, sending Bernard sailing into a bush. He tumbles to the ground and staggers to his feet, covered with enormous burrs. In the desert mining country, at the base of a gigantic finger of rock, an abandoned mine building. In an underground compound, Cody sits tied to a chair. Nearby, the lizard lounges in a bath. Across the room, MacLeach sharpens knives.
Well, boy, let's see if we can do something to refresh that rusty old memory of yours.
Behind Cody's back, a large map of the region. Joanna eats an animal cracker.
Is yon Satan's rip?
Hurling the knives.
Nightmare Canyon! What do you think, Joanna?
Snapping a cracker between her fingers, Joanna grins.
Yeah, that's it. Right smack dab in the middle at Crockfall.
Throwing another knife.
Am I getting warm?
I told you, I don't remember.
Don't you realize a bird that size is worth a fortune? I'll split the money with you 50-50. You can't get a better offer than that, boy.
You won't have any money after the Rangers get through with you.
Scowling, MacLeach crosses the room to a cauldron boiling over an open fire. Furious, he kicks the cauldron. Sending steam and burning embers flying, Joanna cowers. By a river, Bianca removes Bernard's burrs.
Jake's been gone. Ow! Been gone a long time. Maybe I should go... Oh! Maybe I should go look for him.
Oh, don't you worry about Jake. He can handle himself.
Yeah, I noticed.
I am just sure he'll be back in no time.
They sit together on a root above the river. Lovingly, Bernard watches Bianca dip her feet in the water. He fingers the ring box in his pocket.
You know, now that we're alone, there's something that I've been wanting to ask you.
Yes? What is it?
Well, it's like this.
He kneels.
Miss Bianca, I would be...
He takes her hand.
Most honored.
They are very close.
If
look out!
Jake leaps between them, knocking Bernard into the river. A giant python looms up from the water, ready to strike.
No mice for you, Twister. Not today!
Jake twirls a lasso and throws it, catching the giant snake by the mouth.
Miss Bianca!
Jake pulls the rope.
I've been looking all over for you.
Drawing the snake closer.
Now look, we got a long way to go, and you're gonna take us there. And you're not gonna give us any trouble about it.
Right. The python shakes its head. Jake helps Bianca onto the snake.
They're perfectly harmless once you look them in the eye and let them know who's boss. Ain't that right, mate?
They sit on his head.
Get.
It's all right, Bernard. Jake has everything under control.
Yeah, I noticed.
Dejected, Bernard mounts the snake.
You know, Miss Bianca, truth be told, I used to be quite a dingo wrestler. Yeah, there was this one time.
Alone on the python's back, Bernard watches them. Pulling the ring box from his pocket, he opens it and empties it of water. He sits holding it sadly. As the snake glides on over the river. Deep in the old mine, MacLeach locks Cody in a cage in a dark room full of caged animals. Holding a paraffin lantern, he glares in at him, Joanna at his feet.
I'll give you a night down here to think it over.
He hangs the keys on a nail by the door.
But tomorrow, no more Mr. Nice Guy.
He slams Joanna's tail in the door.
Joanna, you thick-headed chunk of fish bait.
He frees the tail and they leave.
I'll never tell you where she is. Never! Never!
A tiny green frilled-necked lizard appears at his feet.
Give a tail. You had to ride it out of us.
Cody kneels.
Hey, where did you come from?
The desert?
A koala.
Well, well, well. Fancy that. Looks like MacLeach has begun trapping his own kind. There's no hope for any of us now.
The little lizard.
No hope! No hope! No!
But there must be a way out of here.
Oh, there's a way out, all right.
There is?
Absolutely. You'll go as a wallet, you'll go as a belt, and our dear Frank...
No, no, no! I don't want to hear...
Frank will go as...
I can't hear you!
Frank takes his hands away from his ears.
A purse.
Ah, no!
Ooh, a lovely lady's purse.
I don't want to go as a purse.
He clutches Cody.
Please, please, don't let him do it.
Don't worry, we're going to get out of here.
We are?
Yeah, if we all put our heads together, I'm sure we'll think of something.
Yeah, something.
Frank holds his head.
Frank, what's wrong?
Oh, here he goes again.
Take it easy, mate. You don't want to hurt yourself again.
A kangaroo taps his head.
Yeah, I got it!
Frank points across the room.
All we gotta do is get the keys!
Oh, is that all? Well, then, we'd better start packing our bags.
But wait, he's right. If we could get these long pieces of wood...
Wood, yeah, wood. Good.
Maybe we could...
could.
Cody reaches, a kookaburra swings its cage.
That hurt just a little more.
Knocking the wood toward him.
There! Come on, everybody! Get some more stuff!
The kid's right. What are we waiting for?
With his tail, the kangaroo knocks a hooked pole towards Cody.
That's it! You've got it!
Cody arranges the poles.
Hurry! We need something to tie it together!
Across the room, a snake flips an old boot across to Frank.
Hey, what do you got? What do you got? What do you got?
It lands on his head. With the poles tied into a long extension with a hook at the end, Cody reaches across the room toward the keys. The koala and a wombat hold a rope that guides and props the poles.
A little further.
He misses with the first pass.
It's okay. Let's try again.
Yeah.
Easy. Easy does it.
No.
Will somebody shut him up?
Cody snags the key ring.
You've got it.
Joanna glares in from the door flap. Entering, she sees the dangling keys and jerks the pole out of Cody's hands. She takes the key ring and rehangs it on its nail. Then she exits through the flap.
And I'll pick the lock like this.
Ah, Frank, give it a rest.
No. You'll thank me when you're free. Look. I just insert my tail like this, and I turn it like this, just a quarter turn to the left, and then I push.
Dejected, everyone ignores him. Bernard, Bianca, and Jake whiz through the dark bush on the backs of glowing lightning bugs. Bernard is having trouble staying on.
Show him who's boss, Berno.
With Jake in the lead, followed by Bianca, the three mice fly through the night sky. Bernard is thrown up in a flip and lands reversed on the lightning bug's back. He manages to get turned around just as his ride takes him through a puffy white dandelion head which explodes in a cloud of seeds. Dipping him quickly into a pond, the lightning bug sails off after Jake and Bianca. Next morning, in the abandoned ambulance in the desert, white-suited mice nurses switch on powerful examination lights. Wilbur, still tightly trussed up, opens his eyes and blinks painfully.
I feel like I got my head in a vise.
His head is, in fact, being squeezed by a wood vise. He realizes this and grimaces. A nurse puts a heart monitoring electrode on his beak.
Are we ready, nurse?
Ready, doctor.
All right, ladies.
He puts on a rubber glove.
Back to it. Ooh, that's smart.
And examines an x-ray.
Oh, let me see here.
Wilbur's white bones appear, spread over the black surface.
Forceps?
Forceps!
Pliers.
Oh, no. What now?
The line on the heart monitor bounces madly.
Spinal speculator.
Oh, that's gonna hurt.
His heart races.
Artery router.
Mother!
An old spur.
This is rusted tight. I wouldn't dream of using such a tool. Bring me the epidermal tissue disruptor.
The epidermal what?
A chainsaw.
No!
Wilbur leaps to his feet. A nurse pushes a button. An alarm flashes, patient escaping. The doctor runs towards him.
Mr. Albatross, we haven't operated yet.
You gotta catch me first, Doc.
Mr. Albatross, please.
Cowabunga!
Wilbur jumps to the floor and makes for a window.
Albatross, we must return you to the operating room.
In the window.
Take me alive!
They grab his feet.
Please don't do this. Your spine needs tender.
They pull his legs.
Love.
Wilbur is pulled back, squashing the doctor into the floor. Wilbur feels his back.
My back.
He leaps to his feet.
Oh, it works. I'm cured.
My back.
The doctor.
Don't worry. I'm coming, you little mice. This is the finest fleet on two web feet. Oh, boy, I gotta go on a diet when I get home. There we go!
Flapping his wings, Wilbur soars into the air. On Cody's porch, a ranger holds Cody's rucksack. He knocks on the door soberly. Cody's mother appears. He hands her the rucksack.
Found near Crocodile Falls, and local rangers believe he was yet another victim of crocodile attack.
She cuddles it. At the old mine, McLeach holds a primitive radio.
Think you're pretty smart, don't you? Who outsmarted who? Who outsmarted who? Huh? I still gotta get that boy to talking, huh?
He puts down the radio.
I'm hungry. Can't think on an empty stomach. Gotta have protein.
And walks away.
Gotta have eggs.
Joanna follows him excitedly.
Everyone's got his price. All I gotta do is offer him whatever he wants. And then not give it to him.
Taking a box of eggs from a fridge, McLeach sets it on a counter. He turns away. Joanna steals an egg.
You take one of my eggs. Open your mouth.
Joanna hides the egg with her tongue.
These are not Joanna eggs.
He closes the box.
The boy's got the eagle. I want the eagle. The boy won't give me the eagle.
Joanna swipes another egg. McLeach moves the box away, produces a welding torch.
If I could just find the boy's weak spot, I could get him to tell me where the eagle is.
As he lights the torch, Joanna steals another egg. McLeach moves the box again. He looks away and Joanna sneaks behind him to steal another egg. But McLeach leans on the box.
But the boy's only got one weak spot, and that is the eagle.
Joanna distracts his attention and when the box is clear, steals another egg. McLeach leans on the counter beside the box.
Maybe if I stuck him in a giant anthill.
Joanna opens the box.
Loosen his tongue and then... I got
it! He slams the lid down.
Got your hand caught in a cookie jar, didn't you? You think you're messing with, you dumb animal? My mental facilities are twice what yours are, you pea brain!
McLeach opens the box. It's empty. Joanna scarpers.
Joanna, I give you platypus eggs, I give you snake eggs, why, I'll even give you eagle eggs. But I want you to stay away from my...
He grins wildly.
The eagle's eggs. That's it. That's the boy's weak spot.
Joanna cowers at his feet. At Cody's cage, Frank the frilled-neck lizard is still trying to pick the lock with his tail. Suddenly, the lock opens. Frank doesn't notice. He staggers out of the cage and looks at his tail, which is kinked.
Give up.
He kicks the door closed.
I'll never get this.
He slumps. Across the room, the kangaroo sees him.
Hey, look. Krebs. Frank's out.
Frank, you're free.
Free?
Blinking, Frank looks around, then breaks into a dance.
Free, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free.
Joanna will hear.
Double or nothing, he's caught in 5 minutes.
Calm down, all right?
Frank pokes his head into Cody's cage.
Frank, get the keys. I should get the keys.
His neck frill catches on the mesh.
Quiet.
Yep.
Come on, take it easy. I'll get your loot.
Cody helps him.
There you go. Now go get the keys.
He runs across the room.
You can't reach him. Quick, get something to stand on.
This ought to be rich.
Frank puts down a thin piece of plywood and jumps from that. He is still too far below the keys to reach them.
Frank! Use the box! Climb up on the box!
Frank pushes a small wooden crate below the keys. Then he climbs onto the top and reaches up. Pulling the key ring from the nail, he loses his balance and drops it onto the box lid. He kicks him to the floor, in front of Joanna's door flap. Frank shrugs in shame. He peers down at the keys and at the door. He crawls down towards them. As he grabs them, Joanna's head bursts through the flap.
Oops.
Joanna chases Frank, who holds the keys.
The keys, Frank! Give us the keys!
Racing past the kangaroo around the room, Frank manages to evade Joanna.
Over here! Give us the keys!
Frank dives into a pile of planks and old furniture. Joanna follows. When they emerge, Joanna has the key ring in her mouth, and Frank holds onto it, riding on Joanna's head. Joanna bucks like a bronco.
Ride him, Frank!
Yahoo!
Joanna bucks Frank and the keys high into the air. But Frank sprays his neck frill and floats down as with a parachute. Reaching the ground, he dashes for Cody's cage and starts to insert the key. Seeing Joanna, he throws down the keys in panic and flees. Cody takes the keys and unlocks his cage. Joanna chases Frank to the top of a leaning shotgun. As Joanna reaches for the trigger, Frank leaps backwards. Joanna's thrown across the room into an old trunk. Frank cringes by a wall riddled with buckshot.
Missed.
Cody is unlocking a cage. A hand grasps him from behind.
Surprise!
If I didn't know any better, I'd think you didn't like it here.
Let go!
McLeach sees that Frank is free.
Ah, what are you doing out of your cage?
Frank gallops back to the cage and slams the door shut behind him.
That's better.
Joanna emerges from the trunk.
Come on, boy. Say goodbye to your little friends. It's the last you'll ever see of them.
He drags Cody out with Joanna at his heels. Outside, in bright daylight, Jake, Bernard and Bianca look up in awe at the seemingly impregnable outer wall of the mine.
There is no time to waste. We must try to get in.
Here, Miss Bianca, start digging.
Bernard gives them pointed sticks and they start digging under the wall. Jake pauses.
Has anyone considered trying open sesame?
The wall starts to rise off the ground. It's an up and over garage door. The three mice grab onto it and it lifts them up. When it stops, they clamber onto its top edge and peer down.
Get out of here! Get it!
Look, Bernard. It's the boy.
And McLeach.
McLeach hurls a knife at Cody's feet.
It's all over, boy.
Cody snatches it up.
Your bird's dead. Someone shot her. Shot her! Right out of the sky! Bang!
Joanna mimes dying.
No!
What do you mean, no? You calling me a liar? Heard it on the radio this morning, and she could have been mine if it weren't for you. Now you better get out of here before I change my mind. Go on, get it.
Cody walks away. The mice.
Why is he letting him go?
It's gotta be a trick.
Too bad about those eggs, eh, Joanna?
He strokes her.
They'll never survive without their mother.
Cody looks back.
Oh, well, survival of the fittest, I guess.
His face drawn with worry, Cody runs off across the desert.
Bingo.
McLeach and Joanna disappear into the mine. The mice exchange glances.
Bird?
Eggs?
Shh. Listen.
McLeach's bushwhacker rumbles up to the doorway and stops. Inside, McLeach and Joanna. McLeach tracks Cody with binoculars.
I didn't make it all the way through third grade for nothing.
The bushwhacker moves forward below the mice. Jake prepares to jump down onto it.
He's gone, but we can't let him get away.
He jumps.
Hurry up, you two.
Quickly, Bernard. No!
They jump, bounce off an angled surface, and slide downward. Jake watches as they land on the rotating steel tracks. Ahead of them, the tracks roll down over the front wheel. Bernard blanches.
Oh, no! Oh, no!
In desperation, they run back over the rolling track, but cannot outrun the track's forward movement. Little by little, they are drawn closer to the front.
Get between the tracks!
Slipping into gaps in the tracks, they are swept down and under the vehicle. They hold on tightly to the steel and are rolled around under the track's upper surface again. Jake is watching from a ledge above.
Bianca, here! Dad!
He throws a rope.
Got it! It's Bianca! You can do it!
Bianca grabs Bernard around the waist and they swing clear of the track. Jake hauls them up to his ledge on the bushwhacker's undercarriage. Safe now, the three mice hold tightly to the bouncing vehicle as it rumbles away over the desert. High among the clouds, Wilbur is overtaken by a flock of storks.
Boy, this is some headwind, huh? Say, you lovely ladies wouldn't have seen two little mice running around down there, would you?
The storks fly into a cloud bank.
Hey, where are you going? I mean it. I'm looking for two little mice.
He's left alone.
Is it something I said?
Cody approaches the edge of a high cliff. Below, a deep cleft of rocky canyon with a river winding through it. Cody eases himself over the edge and starts to climb down. McLeach and Joanna arrive in the bushwhacker. The mice climb down a rope to the ground.
He's gone down the cliff. Come on, we gotta warn him.
Jake dashes off, followed by Bernard and Bianca. Cody is inching himself down the sheer cliff face towards the nest. When he's just above it, he jumps from the rocks and lands on the narrow recess shelf. Stepping back under the recess, he approaches the nest and stands looking down at it. Inside, the three brown speckled eggs lie as before. Carefully, Cody kneels down beside them. He touches an egg with the flat of his hand, puts his ear against it. His face is sad. Then he gently places some dried grass over them. He finds another golden eagle feather and holds it in his hand, lovingly, stroking it. A sudden gust of wind pulls the feather from his hand and sends it looping high in the air over the gorge. Cody watches it sadly. Jake, Bernard and Bianca scramble down onto the ledge beside him.
Cody?
Huh?
He looks down at them.
Who are you?
Oh, there is no time to explain. You're in great danger.
They're all dead. It can't be.
Cody runs to the cliff edge.
Oh, Cody! Cody, wait!
They join him. Cody looks down. Far below, the great eagle is circling.
She's alive!
Cody, please! You must listen!
That's right. MacLeish is on the cliff.
Cody looks up. Above, MacLeish is aiming a rocket launcher at the eagle, who climbs towards them.
They're all dead! No! Turn back! Turn back! Stay away! It's a trap!
MacLeish fires. The rocket releases a net which captures Marahute. A winch draws the net upwards.
I got her! I got her! Did you see that? Perfect shot! Perfect shot! She's mine! Oh, my!
As Marahute is hauled past the nest ledge, Cody leaps out and grabs the net, dangling by his arms. On the ledge, Jake pulls out a lasso and throws it, catching Cody by his foot.
Hold tight, you two! Going for a ride.
Jake and Bianca are hauled upwards.
Bianca!
Bernard!
Bernard loses his grip and remains on the ledge. Holding tight, Cody is busy trying to cut away the netting with his clasp knife. MacLeish looks down and scowls.
Meddling brat. I'm gonna get rid of him for good.
Climbing up to the winch controls, MacLeish jerks the net up and down. Cody loses his grip and starts to fall, but his foot is caught by the netting. Jake throws the lasso again and secures Cody's foot. The winch lifts the bundle over the cliff edge. MacLeish grabs it and draws it toward the top opening of the bushwhacker cage. Cody, Jake and Bianca drop to the cage floor. MacLeish lowers Marahute beside them, then he slams the door.
There she is, Joanna. Just look at her. Look at the size of her. The rarest bird in the world. It's gonna make me rich. Filthy rich. I got what I want. Now, what does Joanna want? Does she want to make sure that bird stays rare?
He puts a collar around her neck.
How about some great big triple A jumbo eagle eggs? You want them? You want them? Go get them.
Joanna races toward the cliff edge, but stops abruptly, peering down into the canyon in terror. She backs away, trembling.
Why, whatever's the matter, Joanna?
She points down into the canyon. MacLeish kicks her over the edge. Held by a rope tied to her collar, Joanna bounces over the abyss. Slowly, MacLeish lowers the lizard toward the nest. She sees the ledge, but is lowered past it and pulls on the rope to stop its descent. Scrambling back up onto the ledge, she frowns and flicks her tongue up toward MacLeish. She slinks back into the recess to the nest with its three eggs. Joanna circles them, settles beside them. Pushing two of them aside, she bites the third. The egg does not break, and she breaks a tooth. She looks surprised. Taking up another egg, she tries again. She has no better luck this time. She tries scratching it with her claws and wears them down to stumps. Lifting the third egg, she drops it onto the second. It rolls onto her tail.
Joanna! You hurry up and eat those eggs and get your tail up here! Move it!
Joanna frowns, crossing her arms. Glancing out at the canyon, she gets an idea. She notices the eggs out of the nest and across to the cliff edge, where they roll together in a clump. Positioning herself like a golfer, she swings her tail like a golf club and drives the eggs into the air. They drop down out of sight into the canyon. She grins with satisfaction. She jerks the rope with her tail, and MacLeish draws her up, banging her head on the overhang. As Joanna disappears, Bernard peers out from a hole in the grass under the nest. Behind him, the three real eggs lie hidden.
Okay, you guys, she fell for it.
He pats the eggs.
Looks like the coast is clear.
Girls! Girls, I'm here!
Bernard runs to investigate.
Where are
you little chickies, you.
Wilbur.
Wilbur disappears over the edge, then reappears.
Don't ever do that to me again. Oh, boy. I lost a lot of feathers on that one.
Wilbur, am I glad to see you. Give me a hand with these eggs, will you?
Yeah, sure.
Bernard rolls them out.
Wait a minute.
What the heck are you doing up here anyway?
The kidnapper took the boy and Jake.
He frowns.
Miss Bianca.
Miss Bianca? Miss Bianca's in trouble? Whoa! Hey, well, that's terrible. We gotta do something. Bernard, I'm disappointed in you. Hiding under a nest while Miss Bianca needs our help. I gotta talk to you, mister.
Wilbur.
Yeah. You should start searching the desert for her, and I'll scan the coastline.
Wilbur.
That's what I'll do. Oh, that's the chicks on the
Wilbur.
Beach.
Wilbur.
Huh? What?
Now listen, there's some chicks right here that need your help.
Really?
Bernard sits on an egg and pats it. Wilbur's smile fades.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Hold it. I know what you're thinking, and you're wrong. Don't even... No.
Bernard frowns.
Don't look at me like that. You're getting no from me. You understand? No, I will not ever sit on those eggs.
He sits on the eggs.
Nuts. Gotta learn to be more assertive. No is no is no. Hey, quit moving in there.
McLeach's bushwhacker races over the desert, with Marahute, Cody, Jake, and Bianca imprisoned in the cage on the back.
Well, Joanna, it looks like Lady Luck has finally decided to smile on us. Everything's going our way.
He smiles down at Joanna beside him.
You can't do this! You're gonna get big trouble! I'll tell the rangers where you are!
Joanna opens the back window.
I almost forgot. We got a loose end to tie up. Have him bring her up.
McLeach frowns. Joanna glares at Cody, who makes a face. Joanna makes one back. Cody punches her. Joanna falls onto the seat. Dejected, Cody slumps. Bianca hops up to his knee.
Now, Cody, we mustn't lose hope. Bernard is still out there.
That's right. If anyone can get us out of this scrape, it's all Berno.
Cody smiles at Marahute.
Nice bluff, Miss B.
I wasn't bluffing. You don't know Bernard like I do. He'll never give up.
Bianca moves to the back of the cage. In the orange light of sunset, she peers longingly down the roadway in the direction they have come. Far behind them, chubby little Bernard is jogging exhaustedly along the roadway after them. He reaches the edge of a high cliff and stops to rest, panting. Far ahead, a mere speck below him on the desert floor, the bushwhacker moves along the dirt track. Bernard's face clouds.
Oh my gosh.
Shaking his head, he slumps to the ground. Beside him in the gathering darkness, a huge tusked razorback hog lies sleeping. Bernard notices it and double takes. He jumps up in fright, nervously adjusting the collar of his roll-neck sweater. Then he gets an idea. Frowning with determination, he marches around to the razorback's snout, where it lies on the ground. Looking up at the huge head, he swallows dryly and addresses the beast. The razorback's eyes open.
Excuse me.
Bernard grabs his tusks and rolls him onto his side.
Now look, I've got a long way to go. You're gonna take me there, and you're not gonna give me any trouble about it, right?
The beast shakes its head. Bernard climbs onto its snout.
Good.
And then between its ears, where he sits, pointing ahead.
Now get.
The razorback lurches to its feet and gallops off down the road, following the bushwhacker's tracks. On a clifftop overlooking the river above Crocodile Falls, McLeach has parked the bushwhacker. Cody, his hands tied behind him, is suspended from a rope attached to the bushwhacker's crane. He scowls at Joanna, who glares back.
Are you ready, boy? It's time you learned how to fish for crocs.
McLeach winches Cody off the ground.
They like it when you use live bait. And you're as live as they come.
Cody swings out over the churning water far below. McLeach dances with glee.
You get a line, I'll get a pole, matey.
He switches on a spotlight.
You get a line, I'll get a pole, friend.
And trains it on Cody.
Oh, you get a line, I'll get a pole. We'll go fishing in Crocodile Hole, buddy. Have a line.
Cody drops towards the churning water.
That's right, babies. Supper time.
Ugly crocodiles with fierce glowing eyes swim below Cody, waiting. He dangles above them. From the cage, Marahute, Jake, and Bianca look on.
It don't look good, Miss B. I can't see any way out of this one.
Oh, Bernard, please hurry.
McLeach sits at the crane controls.
Now, this is my idea of fun.
Pushing a lever, he drops Cody into the water, then pulls him up again.
Nothing personal, boy, but I wouldn't want to disappoint the rangers. They was looking so hard for you, and now they're gonna fight!
Suddenly, the power to McLeach's winch and spotlight fails. Cody hangs above the water.
What the blade is going on here?
The Razorback jumps from the bushwhacker's cab and runs off.
Joanna!
Joanna comes running.
Did you know there was a Razorback in my truck? Did you?
She shakes her head.
Did you? There was a Razorback in my truck!
He grabs her snout.
Now you quit playing around and do your job, you four-legged python!
Joanna scarpers. McLeach climbs up to the bushwhacker cab.
Hey, what happened to them keys? Must be around here somewhere. They couldn't just get up and walk away.
Clutching the keys, Bernard is hiding under a foot pedal.
Some weird's going on around here. I smell a big fat rat.
Bernard sees a hole in the floor. A croc leaps up at Cody. Bernard drops to the ground below the cab. Picking up the keys, he starts off. Joanna is right behind him. Her tongue flicks out and touches him. Bernard double takes and runs. Joanna gives chase, but runs into the axle. Bernard appears below the cage.
Look, it's Bernard!
I don't believe it. Way to go, mate!
Miss Bianca, Jake, catch!
Bernard throws the keys up to them. Jake misses, but Bianca grabs them through the wire mesh. As Bernard darts around trying to avoid Joanna, Bianca climbs with the keys towards the cage door.
Well, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
McLeach pulls his rifle from the cab. Jake and Bianca are nearly at the cage door. Bernard is circling under Joanna's body, making her twist and turn. He picks up her tail and Joanna strikes, biting it. Bernard hops into a hollow tree for safety. Jake and Bianca drag the keys towards the padlock. McLeach is shooting at Cody's rope, trying to sever it. His first shot misses.
Blast!
Bernard peers out from his refuge.
Oh my gosh!
He jumps to the ground.
I hope I know what I'm doing.
And runs off. McLeach fires again, severing all but a strand of Cody's rope. Bernard dashes up to Joanna and kicks her. Sticking out his tongue, he runs off. Joanna follows. On the cliff edge, McLeach prepares to fire again. Bernard runs up his leg and Joanna leaps after him, throwing McLeach off balance. Bernard, now on the ground, gives McLeach a little push. Bernard brushes his hands with satisfaction. McLeach sweeps downstream. The crocodiles swing towards him.
Joanna! Joanna! Get off of me!
She climbs on McLeach's shoulders.
Get off of me!
Joanna swims off, leaving McLeach to fight off the crocodiles with his rifle. Cody's rope breaks and he falls, still tied, into the river, where he sinks. Jake and Bianca struggle with the padlock.
Bernard, the boy!
Dashing down a dead branch to the river's edge, Bernard dives into the raging river. Swimming down, he grabs the end of the rope and hauls Cody up to the surface. Cody is swept away by the current.
Help!
Bernard spies a dead tree limb by the riverside.
Help!
He wraps the rope around the limb and secures him. Racing downstream, McLeach is fighting off the crocodiles.
Oh, come back. Get it.
The crocodiles turn and swim upstream.
I whooped you! I whooped you all! You'll think twice before messing with Percival C. McLeach!
From the bank, Joanna waves wistfully at him. Turning, McLeach sees the edge of Crocodile Falls. The current carries him on over the edge.
No!
McLeach tumbles down into the vast maelstrom of water, a tiny speck soon lost in the mists. Meanwhile, Bernard struggles to hold on to Cody's rope.
Don't give up, Cody!
Jake opens the padlock. Bernard's limb breaks. Jake and Bianca jump onto Marahute, who flies upwards. Cody and Bernard sweep over the falls. They plummet down. Marahute dives below them and levels out, catching Bernard and the boy on her broad back and soaring up again. Up and up, Marahute glides, rising above the clouds, her great wings flapping against a background of bright stars. Clutching Marahute's back, Cody smiles at Jake and Bianca, riding on the eagle's neck. Suddenly, Cody remembers Bernard, still tightly clutching the dangling rope end. Cody lifts up the rope.
It's okay. Come on.
Bernard drops into his palm and Cody clasps him tenderly.
Thanks, little man.
He rubs Bernard against his cheek, then places him beside Bianca, who embraces him.
Oh, Bernard, you are magnificent. You are absolutely the hero of the day.
Miss Bianca, before anything else happens...
From his flat cap, Bernard produces the ring and kneels.
Will you marry me?
I will.
She hugs him again. Jake gives a thumbs up.
Well done, mate.
Come on, Marahute. Let's all go home.
The great eagle spreads her wide golden wings and soars up over the clouds, carrying her little party onwards through the night, becoming a tiny silhouette against a full moon so large that it takes up nearly a third of the screen. Far below, in the nest high in the cliff face above the dark canyon, Wilbur is still sitting on the eggs.
Help! Anybody? Bernard! Bianca! Where are you?
Okay, that's it. I'm out of here. This is ridiculous. You can't leave me here alone. I'm gone. I am gone. Oh, no. Stay in those eggs. That's a direct order.
Aw. Oh. Hey, you're kind of a cute little feller. Coochie, coochie, coochie.
Ow! Whoa!
The star-spangled night sky fades to black, and the credits roll up over the screen.
The audio description was written by William Roberts. It was read by Carol Ann Lime. The studio engineer was Sue Wada. Animation screenplay by Jim Cox, Carrie Kirkpatrick, Byron Simpson, and Joe Raft. Music by Bruce Broughton. Associate producer Kathleen Gavin. Edited by Michael Kelly. Art direction Maurice Hunt. Suggested by characters created by Marjorie Sharp. Story supervisor Joe Raft. Storyboarding, Ed Gombert, Christopher Sanders, Roger Allers, Glenn Keane, Vance Jerry, Kelly Asbury, Gary Truesdale, Brenda Chapman, Will Finn, Robert Lentz, and Kirk Wise. Supervising animators, Glenn Keane, Ross Edmonds, Ruben A. Aquino, Ed Gombert, Kathy Zielinski, Mark Henn, David Cutler, Nick Ranieri, Anthony DeRosa, and Duncan Marchbanks. Character animators, James Baxter, David Burgess, Mike Sedano, Dave Priskma, Ken Duncan, Jorgen Klubian, David P. Steffen, Brigitte Hartley, Tom Roth, Ron Husband, Alexander S. Cooperschmidt, Rick Farmelo, Rejean Bourdage, Joe Hyder, Ji-Fui Border, Chris Wall, Doug Crone, Leon Jossen, Will Finn, Chris Bailey, Jacques Miller, Roger Chaisson, Ellen Woodbury, Barry Temple, Larry White, and Phil Young. Layout supervisor Dan Hansen, key layouts Rasul Azadani and Bill Perkins. Layout, Karen Keller and Robert Walker. Background supervisor, Lisa Keane. Backgrounds, Jim Coleman, Douglas Ball, Christy Maltese, Tom Woodington, Robert E. Stanton, Tia Cratter, Donald Towns, Phil Phillipson, Dean Gordon, Diana Wakeman and Michael Humphreys. Effects supervisor, Randy Fulmer. Effects animators, Ted Kiersey, Calvin Yasuda, Eusebio Torres, Barry Cook, Mark Dindal, Dave Bossert, Mark Meyer, Christine Harding, and Glenn Chaika. Supervising character leads, Bill Berg, Renee Holt, Marty Korth, Brian Clift, Emily Giuliano, and Vera Lanfer. Character leads, Deborah Armstrong, Margie Daniels, Karen Lundin, Stefan Zupkas, Jesus Cortez, Nancy Kniep, Dan Tanaka, and Alex Topate. Character keys, Bette Isis Baker, Philo Barnhart, Lou De La Rosa, Tom Ferriter, Daniel A. Gracie, Margaret Nichols, Gilda Palanginis, Dave Suding, Dorothea Baker, Wes Chun, Marcia Doherty, Trey Finney, Ray Harris, Laurie M. Noda, Natasha Selfridge, Jane Tucker, Tom Bancroft, Kent Culotta, Sam Ewing, Gail Frank, Tracy M. Lee, Jennifer Oliver, Alan Simpson, and Loreline Weatherly. Assistants Scott Anderson, James Davis, Mike Gens, Terry LeGrady, Brian McKim, Eric Piggers, Peggy Tonkanagi, Susan Zitka, Carl Bell, Lee Dunkman, Karen Hardenberg, Steve Lubin, Mike McKinney, Prez Romanillos, Marshall Toomey, Kathleen M. Bailey, Susan Craig, Teresa Eidenbach, Johann Klinger, Teresa Martin, Terry Norton, Juliet Stroud, Marianne Tucker, and Judy Barnes. Character design stroke visual development, Christopher Sanders, Bruce Zick, Glenn Keane, Chris Buck, Gay Lawrence Ventura, Gil Hung, Kevin Lima, Kelly Asbury, Duncan Marchbanks, Kevin Donahue, and Valerio Lawrence Ventura. Featuring the voice talents of Bob Newhart as Bernard, Eva Gabor as Miss Bianca, John Candy as Wilbur, Tristan Rogers as Jake, Adam Ryan as Cody, George C. Scott as McLeach, Wayne Robson as Frank, Douglas Seal as Krebs, Joanna, and additional special vocal effects by Frank Welker, the Chair Mouse, Dr. Bernard Fox, Red the Kangaroo, Peter Firth, Bait Mouse, Billy Barty, Francois, Ed Gilbert, Falou, Mother, Carla Meyer, Nurse Mouse, Rossi Taylor. Production Manager Sarah MacArthur, Color Model Supervisor Karen Kamala, Animation Checking Supervisor Janet Bruce, Scene Planning Supervisor Ann Tucker, Ink and Paint Manager Gretchen Maschmeyer Albrecht, Final Check Stroke Paint Supervisor Hortensia Casagran, Digitizing Camera Supervisor Robin Roberts, Computer Animation Tina Price and Andrew Schmidt, Computer Animation Engineers Scott Johnston and Mary Jane Turner, Blue Sketch Roxy Stevens and Madeline O'Neill, Assistant Effects Animators Dan Chaika, Mabel Gesner, Alan Blythe, Alan Stovall, Kevin Turcott, Hai-Suk Hwang, Rob Beckhurs, John Tucker, Steve Starr, Mark Barrows, Jeff Dutton, Margaret Craig Chang, Lee Crow, and James R. Tooley. Airbrush, John Emerson. Breakdown Stroke In-Betweens, Beverly Adams, Gordon Bellamy, Robert D. Corley, Wendy Fisher, Richard H. Green, Michael Hazy, Todd Hoff, Christine Lawrence, Ed Olson, Martin Schwartz, Brian M. Summer, Bill Thins, Daniel Warzizek, He Ran Bay, Philip S. Boyd, Tony Craig, James Fuji, Peter Gullerud, Grant Highstand, Allison Holland, Laura Nichols, Gary Payne, Donald Selders, Michael Swofford, Jane Vitiskova, Wendy Werner, Noreen Beasley, Ina Chon, Vincent DeFrancis, Susan Gao, Edward Gutierrez, Ken Hettig, Mark Kennedy, Matt Novak, Karen Rosenfeld, Kevin Smith, David Teague, and Elizabeth Watterson. Effects Breakdown Stroke In-Betweens, Cynthia Neal Knezik, Peter Dummond, Tony West, Masa Oshiro, and Kennard Betts. Effects Graphics, Bernie Gagliano. Animation Checking, Susan Burke, Karen Pat, Mavis Schaefer, Madeline O'Neill, Gary Schaefer, and Barbara Wiles. Assistant Production Manager Dorothy McKim. Camera Manager Joe Giuliano. Film Recorder Coordinator Ariel Shaw. Digital Production System Development Randy Cartwright, Lem Davis, Don Gworek, Mark Kimball, Michael Purvis, David F. Wolfe, David Coons, Scott Greenidge, Jim Houston, Dylan Kohler, and Marty Prager. Technical Director Edward Kummer. Technical Support, Michael Bolds, Pradeep Hiramath, Grace Shirado, Randy Fukuda, Carlos Quinones, and Michael Sullivan. Pixar, Thomas Hahn, Michael A. Chances, Peter Nye, and Rick Ace. Scene Planning, Jeff Schroeder and Rick Sullivan. Character Sculptures, Ruben Procopio. Titles designed by Dan Perry. Ink and Paint Assistant Manager, Chris Hecox. Digitizing Markup, Gina Wooten. Line Repair, Angelica Katz. Digitizing Camera Operators, Joanne Brewer, Bob Cohen, Cindy Garcia, Sherry Vandoli, Karen China, Lynette Cullen, and Kent Gordon. Paint Markup, Tanya Mittman-Burton, Tanya Morrow-Smith, and Irma Velez. Painting, Joyce Alexander, Bonnie Blow, Paulino Garcia, Karen Hepburn, Harlene Mears, Charlene D. Miller, Leila Palaez. Carmen Sanderson, Roxanne M. Taylor, Phyllis Bird, Sherry Cusort, Carolyn Guskey, David Karp, Beth Ann McCoy, Deborah Jane Mooneyham, Bruce Phillipson, Heidi W. Shellhorn, Britt Vandenagel, Russell Blandino, Phyllis Fields, Anne Hazard, Monica Marakin, Terry McDonald, Karen Nugent, Nellie Rodriguez, Fumiko R. Summer, and Susan Wildman. Final check, Saskia Rivori. Compositing, James Jr. Russell and David Rowe. Film recorder operator, Christopher G. Additional voices, Charlie Adler, Vanna Bonta, Murray Mack, Patrick Pinney, Jack Angel, Peter Greenwood, Mickey McGowan, and Phil Proctor. Casting by Mary V. Buck, CSA, and Susan Edelman, CSA. Additional editing, Mark Hester. Supervising music editor, Kathleen Bennett. Music editing, Segway Music. First assistant editor, Paul Murphy. Music scoring mixer, Robert Fernandez. Original score recorded and mixed at Warner Brothers Studios facilities. Orchestrations, Don Nemitz and Mark McKenzie. Orchestra conducted by Bruce Broughton. Supervising sound editors, Lewis L. Ademan and Paul Timothy Carden. Sound editors, Fred Judkins, Doug Jackson, Leonard Geschke, MPSE, Nels Jensen, Robert O'Brien, and Suhail Kafiti. ADR editor, Larry Singer. Assistant sound editor, Angela K. Lucky. Processed sound effects, Mel Nyman and Alan Howarth. Foley by Taj Soundworks. Foley artists, Kevin Bartnoff and Hilda Hodges. Didgeridoo by Adam Rudolph. Foley mixer, James Ashwill. Recordist, Mary Jo Lang. Re-recorded at Buena Vista Sound Studio. Re-recording mixers, Terry Porter, CAS, Mel Metcalf, and David J. Hudson. Animation camera supervisor, John Cunningham. Animation camera, John Ardahl, Chris Beck, Mary E. Lesher, Gary W. Smith, and Chuck Warren. Process Lab, Joe Parra, Joe Holmes, John White, and Rick Engels. Live action reference, Barry O'Neill. Video crew, David Weiss, Al Vasquez, and Pat Ferraioli. Projection, Don Henry. Sound reader, Jim Melton. Special thanks to San Diego Zoo and San Diego Wild Animal Park. Peregrine Fund, Incorporated, Boise, Idaho. Craig Bowles. Database for New York City Skyline, courtesy of Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill. Additional production services provided by Disney MGM Studios Theme Park, Lake Buena Vista, Florida. Digital film recorders by Selco, Constantine Engineering Laboratories Company. Songs, Black Slacks, written by Joe Bennett and Jimmy Denton, performed by Joe Bennett and the Sparkle Tones, courtesy of MCA Records. Waltzing Matilda, written by A.B. Patterson and Marie Cowan. Titles and Opticals by Pacific Title. Prints by Technicolor. Dolby Stereo. Number 30790, Motion Picture Association of America. This picture made under the jurisdiction of IATSE, affiliated with AFL-CIO, produced and distributed on Eastman Film. This motion picture was created by Walt Disney Pictures. Copyright 1990, The Walt Disney Company, all rights reserved. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution, Incorporated.